The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right. Believe you me, we are back. Lewis is back from Hawaii. Nolan is in the room. We're at the Young Funny Studios in Los Angeles. Lewis, you're looking mighty tan there, buddy.
Hell yeah, dude. A little bit of a little time in the sun, hanging out in Hawaii. But I have no idea the difference between anywhere in the world. It's all the same shit. It's palm trees, nice beach, nice water. Guess what? Is it Puerto Rico? Is it Jamaica? Is it the Dominican Republic? No, it's Hawaii. It's all the same shit.
Well, all I know is after what would some might perceive to be disrespectful calling out, talking trash, you know, insisting on the crazy rules. The first thing you said to me, literally, and Nolan was there when you walked up, you're like, oh, hey, Mike, wow, you're looking really big and strong. By the way, I cut my foot in Hawaii, so I can't partake in this farce of a fight. Right, Nolan?
That's right, I remember that.
That was the first thing that you said.
I'll tell you right now, first of all, if you... You don't know anything about adversity. You have no idea what it's like to fight with only one of something when you need two, okay? For me, I'm not going to go into this fight, which is, you know, my third professional mixed martial arts fight in my life.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, yep. Okay? Against, I would say, debatably, the most skilled opponent that I've had.
Possibly.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, that lanky streak of piss comedian, he looked good. But, you know, yeah, there's a possibility that I would be the Harrington. Oh, God, he's got the weight advantage.
Exactly.
Definitely got the weight advantage.
I cut my foot on some rocks in Hawaii, and now I'm walking with a little bit of a limp. You know, and I think that if I'm going to do myself... You know, give myself the respect to go and compete. As we all know, it's the toughest sport in the world.
Yeah,
I should go in 100%.
All right, no, fair enough. We'll put it on ice.
Yeah, we'll go.
Put it on ice. There you go.
Well, I'm happy to be here, though. LA,
yeah.
I love it. It's very nice here as always. You know, we're gonna start doing this more and more and more. But yeah, this has been quite the trip, dude. I'm a little excited to get back home, though. I leaving my son. You travel a lot too, but what's the longest you've ever been away from your family?
Oh my word. Longest I've been away, 2 months.
2 months.
2 months. Maybe longer. I mean, when I did the Ultimate Fighter, I mean, that was 6 weeks or 8 weeks. I did that three times. Once as a contestant, twice as a coach.
But as a coach, you're allowed to see the family, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, but you're still away. You're still on the other side of the world. When I filmed Triple X, I think that was 3 months in Toronto. I do a lot of, you know, 6 weeks as here and there, you know what I mean?
That's a lot.
It is. It's a long, long time. It's a long time.
I know. Now I feel like a pussy because I did 9 days and then I came back for 2 days and then I was supposed to go out again for 9 days again. And I was like, no, 18 days in a month without my son, too much. And then I canceled the other leg. I was supposed to go to a bachelor party in Vegas
tomorrow.
And I was going to miss my son's first day of first grade. And I felt so guilty about missing his first day of first grade.
Yeah, you're going to miss that just to go and have fun with guys. You're going to drink some alcohol. You're going to party. You're going to do things you regret. You can do that anytime. There's only one day that your son, what grade? First grade?
First grade,
day of first grade, and you're going to miss that.
Well, he's a little dull. So maybe he might have to repeat
Vegas,
the first grade again.
You know what I mean? You're young, free, and single now. Definitely ready to mingle. You'd be there, you know. And you wouldn't remember any of it. But James... He would remember. He'd walk in and he'd be like, all the other fathers, they're taking pictures, they're all proud. And they're like, where's your dad? And like, he is told the bullshit that, no, my father's working. But deep down inside his soul, he knows you're living it up in a Vegas strip club.
But this is the problem with being an entertainer. And this is what the women don't know. And I'm glad that our chicks don't listen to these podcasts.
Well, mine listens to it every time.
Does she?
She does now. Yeah, well, she listens to the first half whilst we're bullshitting. Soon as we get into the MMA, she turns it off.
Right.
But she likes the, you know,
Then it's back to the
nonsense at the start.
Well, yeah. Well, she. All right, I shouldn't even say this, but I will. Fine. She's going to know a little insight. Well,
steady
now.
On. I don't know what you're going to say. Yes. Oh, you're going to say, what do you mean? How can you agree that you're going to say something based on the fact that my wife is listening? I should get the authority on that one. You should send me a text message. Tell me off air. Say, here, I'm going to talk about this. Do you mind? You haven't got the authority to say, do you know what? I'm going to go there.
We'll edit it if you really don't like it. I'll make no one edit the podcast.
I don't give a shit. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, if you work in the entertainment industry, it's very easy to pretend that socializing is part of work. So for me, I've always been able to be I could even justify the bachelor party. If I wanted to justify the bachelor party, it's Sal Vulcano from the Practical Jokers. I can go back to my son's mother and be like, yeah, networking.
You are networking.
It's true, but it's...
Well, I mean, everyone knows I'm trying to, get acting work and stuff like that. And same in that, can't get my fucking words. Same in if you're a comedian or you're an actor or you're an author, whatever it is in this world, this life, it's connections. It's who you know. Of course, you've got to be able to do things. But if you know people and you build a good relationship and they're like, this guy's a solid guy. I like him. I would like to be on a movie set for 2 months at a time in some random location with this dude. You know what I mean?
It's a huge part of it.
So you had to go to that party.
So I'm fucking up my career. Honestly, I'm really taking money. I'm taking food out of my son's mouth by not partying in Vegas right now.
But we're being silly, but in a funny way, you are.
To a certain degree.
You're not taking money out, but still to a certain degree, because that's what you have to do, because if you stay at home every night and you live a nice, disciplined life and you're not going out with the guys and making memories and building those connections and friendships, someone else is going to sneak in. Some other
degenerate.
He's
talking directly to his wife right now. He's not even talking to me anymore.
Some other degenerate has got... Listen, I had to stay up and drink all night, okay? Right. Because now we're fucking connected at the hip. We're brothers, okay? Yeah. And anything he does, I'm a part of.
Yeah. It's true.
Or so I thought.
You have to make sure it's like a big memory, too. You got to get into like a fist fight with like another group of guys with that guy. So he remembers it for the rest of his life. Or just some crazy shit. We are kidding, but you are right to a certain degree. This business or any business, if you work as a cafeteria chef, if the person that's above you likes you more than the next guy, you're probably going to get the raise. You're probably going to get the opportunity, more time off, more opportunities to have cigarette breaks. It's just the name of the game. You have to be able to do the job.
Mm-hmm. But at what point, though, also, does that become transparent? Because there's a fine line you got to walk. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I won't go into details, but I've been told to message somebody because there's a movie coming up. Got to rekindle those flames, baby boy. The connection, the friendliness, all the rest of it. And I'm like, yeah, but I also don't want it to look like I'm just saying, hey, let's grab dinner one night simply because I want to be in your next movie. Do you know what I mean? So there's a fine line. You've got to hang out. You've got to network. Keep it authentic and real without trying to hang out and suck dick. Because then you just look like a fucking asshole. And yeah. I won't do that.
I can't do it either.
Literally or figuratively.
Yeah, I can't.
I can't kiss somebody's ass. And to be honest, I don't want to do that. I don't want a relationship just based on what somebody can do for me. Do you know what I mean? Like some people are like, oh, you need to be friends with that guy. You want to keep that relationship alive. I'm like, well, no, not really. If I'm not going to be friends with somebody just because they can do something for me or further my career. If I get along with someone, I have a connection, then I'll do that.
Yeah.
But if someone's kind of an asshole and I can't tolerate being around them, I'm not going to start tolerating. In fact, the opposite of tolerating, having fun just because they can further my career in some way.
Well, yeah, I can't pretend. I'm really bad at industry parties. If I go to a meeting where it's like, oh, these agents are going to go out and everyone's having drinks, I'm awful. I get in my head, I'm going you don't fucking want to be here. I don't want to be here. Nobody wants to be here. Then I start getting angry and getting myself worked up.
Yeah.
This is why I'm poor. So literally the naming the reason I have a fucking shitty career. But you're right. But it's kind of funny you say that, though, on the flip side, because I always think about this. I always think about they say women that are sleeping with more powerful men to get ahead, or even even gold diggers or something and people kind of look down on that. And I'm going
strategic move.
I don't really mind it.
Right. Strategic move. Good for them. If you're willing to go there, if you're willing to take that on and pay the price, you're willing to accept that burden for the greater good of going up the ladder. Well, listen, it's a trade-off, so good for you. No shame there. But I ain't sucking dick to get to the top.
Well, exactly. I'm not going to be that chick. It's supposed to be women. It's yes. supposed to be some fucking hot chick who, you know, she's like, I'm going to get this guy to like me. And then I have no problem with her. If he's getting out of it, what he
Lewis,
wants to
Lewis,
get out of it.
Lewis, porno movies are not real life.
Yes,
okay?
they are. You don't even know.
Porno movies are not
let's
real
order,
life.
Let's order a pizza.
All of a sudden, Lewis thinks that, you know, he's in some scenario where he can really be like selling out theaters all over the world if he just had sex with that sexy executive. She's got blonde hair. She's got big tits. You know what I mean? She's recently divorced. And like, Lewis, all you got to do is make love to her and you'll make it. No, that scenario doesn't happen.
That did happen to me one time.
Tell me.
There was an agent in fucking, after I did the Montreal Just for Laughs Festival years ago.
You killed it.
Fucking murdered it. Laid down the fucking hammer, baby.
I'm not surprised. Come on, man. I'm not surprised now. Jeez, you never,
in fact, you
never mentioned it was that set.
You could probably pull it up.
No, we're good. Don't worry.
Not the set. No. One of the.
Don't worry about it.
New York Magazine's comics to watch out of that set.
Oh, well, a little.
No, you know what? It was nowhere near as prestigious as that. It was like.
It was like. Wasn't bad. 1.5 stars.
I forget what it was. I forget which magazine, but it was one of them. I was one of the fucking 10 that they named. Was, you know, one of the best.
Luis J. Gomez occasionally made me chuckle.
Yeah, I did okay. But yeah, this fucking chick afterwards, high-powered agency, massive agency. Ooh. Literally tried to fuck. Couldn't be any more aggressive. Like grabbing my dick, grabbing my ass at the festival, feeding me drugs.
Drunk, hammered. Okay, so she didn't know what she was doing. She was high on drugs. She was under the influence of alcohol.
Doggy, I was heated.
And she was seduced by your good looks. I mean, look at you. You're body beast into the max.
I am.
You know, you're tanned up like a maniac. You've been to Hawaii. You're a world traveler.
True.
You perform on stage and make people laugh. This is seductive to a woman, but you took advantage of it. She's on drugs. Hold on. If you like comedy, unapologetic and edgy, then Luis J. Gomez presents Luis J. Gomez. Puts forth the best example so far this year.
That's not even it. That's just some new shit. That's just about my special. Oh. I didn't want to stop you.
Oh.
I didn't want to stop you, paper boy.
My
what
God.
Was he going to say? That wasn't it. It was from Montreal years ago. Anyway, regardless.
Stop pandering to him, Nolan. Do not bring up headlines anymore. Stop
I'm
it.
I'm trying to help, man.
Hey, Nolan, can you bring up the number one Segway podcaster of the year? if we move into the studio full time, we got to bring your trophies
We're
over.
Bringing them in. We're going to need a bigger studio, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We're working on it. Yeah. Where were we? Anyway, I just got back from China.
How was China?
Well, I told you on the podcast the other day, very futuristic, beautiful place, Shenzhen, you know, like the Silicon Valley. But not a lot happened after that podcast. I went for a walk, couldn't walk. My knee is so bad. It's a little better today because I haven't walked on it much. I need a knee replacement, simple as that. I need a full knee replacement. The only problem is I'm 40 years old, not 50, so they don't want to do it because I'm too young. But my quality of life is pretty bad right now. I can't do anything. I mean, I can do an exercise bike because there's no impact. But any impact, if I walk 5-10 minutes, then I can't walk at all. And the pain is pretty unbearable. So I went out for a walk.
You love running too. You're big.
I love to run. And that's another thing as well. If I get the knee replacement, apparently I can't run anymore. Jogging is out the window.
So why get the knee replacement if you can't do anything anyway?
Because I'm in fucking agony and can't walk.
It's part of your appeal. See, if you weren't in pain at all times, you wouldn't have that rough, rugged attitude.
If you'd have seen me in Shenzhen, right? I'm walking around. Listen, I'm not the biggest person, but I'm not the smallest. I'm certainly bigger than your average Chinese person.
Racist.
Right? So I'm getting...
Wow. Dicey.
I'm getting a lot of looks, right? Yeah. Because, you know, I'm walking down the street. I'm bigger than the average man. I'm white. But on top of that, I'm limping like a maniac. I look like a nutter. I look like I escaped to a hospital or something. And it would turn green right on the crosswalks. And I couldn't even make it to the other side of the street by the time it went red. Mm. That's how bad my leg is right now. Fucking agony.
Yeah. How big is the UFC in China at this point? Were you recognized by a lot of people?
A little bit. I mean, of course, UFC is growing out there. UFC are putting a lot of money into it. That Performance Institute is 3 times the size of the one in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah. It's massive. Absolutely massive. And they're investing in that market, obviously. 1.44 billion people. Do you know what I mean? It's a crazy market. And now, of course, and we'll get into it in a minute, they've got a Chinese champion, which is huge. I mean, the UFC never get into, you know, they can't influence a fight. You know, and they certainly don't present or create opportunities or scenarios that favor one person. I never experienced any of that. They present a fair sport, and it's up to you. If you win, you lose, that's down to you. You say whatever you want to say on the microphone, that's down to you. They never tell you what to say. They never interfere with the fighting. But
Right, if you
but you've
your...
got to think, behind closed doors, I mean, you would think you would like a Chinese champion because they're trying to get into that market. So, you know, you can't...
Well, they wanted a British champion and you. I mean, they
and they got one, doggy.
Yeah, baby boy, you delivered.
Yeah, man.
What's up, bitch?
Fucking baby boy. Gotta stop saying that. People are starting to say it in the comments now. Can you stop saying it
they
now?
They love it.
No.
The problem is they're saying it now and they're fucking bothered by it. They're like, you passed the mashed potatoes, baby boy. Fuck.
I watch it back and I'm bothered by it.
You love
it. I'm like, no, I don't love it. I'm like, it's beneath me.
They love the idea of going into a new market, a huge market. Okay, I watched it happen. We talked about it on the last show how they didn't cut Dan Hardy after four losses in a row because they wanted a fucking they wanted to be in that market, and Dan Hardy was a huge star. You were coming up at that time, dude. They wanted to push you, and when you won the Ultimate Fighter, they were like, "Fucking yes, it's an entire country now that we can get." And it's different. America is here's the problem with America: we have no real pride. We pretend we have American pride. We pretend we wave our flag, but we just like the winners. Every American roots for GSP. Every American roots for whoever the most popular fighter is at the time. We have no pride. If you're British, you are rooting for every British fighter in that card. If you're Chinese, you're rooting for every Chinese fighter on the card. If you're Brazilian, same thing. So every other country has much more nationalistic pride than I think the U.S. has.
Well, that's an interesting point, but which I don't necessarily agree with, but I just think what it is that because UFC is predominantly an American-dominated sport, of course, that's changing now, you know, because as the sport's getting more...
I wonder what the numbers are now. How many are non-American?
It's getting more international, but if you look at the roster, you know, the most of the fights that take place on American soil, right, I'd say 80% of UFC bouts or fights or events take place in America.
But how many of the, I think...
Right? No, but so the U.S. audience that watches on TV, they're used to seeing Americans. You see what I'm saying? So, so that feeling of nationalistic pride is kind of watered down a little bit because there's always Americans on the card. If you're Chinese and Zhang Weili walks on, well, she's the only one you've got to root for, so you make a lot of noise. There's a big pop. But when 90% of the card is American, you know, then I think maybe that just reduces that a little bit. Now, that doesn't mean to say they don't avidly support their people because they do. I mean, you hear it at any UFC event, USA.
That's
USA.
More. Can I tell you that? That's not
USA.
Real.
USA.
There's
I'm
nobody.
A dick. Sound like a moron. Yes, I do.
Nobody
I'm
cares
a fucking
now.
Inbred weirdo. Yes, I. That's what you fucking sound like.
But those people saying USA aren't really. They don't really have USA pride. What those people are those
racist.
Are no. Those are leftover pro wrestling fans.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They look at people in the cage and they go, "He's not American, man. Let's vote for this guy."
You do the same thing. You're like, "Hey, mate, he's got pale skin and shitty teeth. Let's vote for this guy. Let's drink some tea and eat some crumpets with this bloke."
No,
please.
I don't.
It's
no,
the same
I don't.
Exact
no,
shit.
I don't. I'll be like, "I used to train with him. He's a right dickhead. He's a fucking dickhead. I hope he loses
he's a right
so
dickhead.
Bad. So bad."
But there's a lot of that. I think that's like an old, like, you know, in pro wrestling, you chant USA. It was like an old Hacksaw Jim Duggan thing, Hulk Hogan thing. I really feel like the majority of people that start chanting for that reason, and then people jump in. People from fucking Brazil, it's you're in danger if you walk out of the.
That's what they chant, which means you're going to die.
They warn you to not leave.
In China, they had a chant that was similar. I mentioned it on the commentary. I said, "Oh, the Chinese are chanting something. I don't know what it is. I don't speak Chinese." And then in the truck, they told me, obviously a translator or whatever, you know, they were chanting,
"Pork fried rice.
We want China to win.
Aww.
We want China to win."
That's
they were
nice.
Imploring, "Oh, yeah. Oh, we want China to win." Yeah. Right? And but it's very less aggressive. It's much less aggressive than "you're going to die." Or USA, which
it's
I think has racial implications. It says we are the super race and you are beneath us.
I also think I'd love to look at the numbers. I bet you right now, if you really consider the entire international roster, everybody.
Yep.
I bet you more than half of the fighters on UFC roster are not even American.
Yeah, well, this isn't getting into an American versus non-American for me. I'm just saying we got onto this because predominantly, it's in America and the sport is doing an amazing thing of becoming a worldwide phenomenon now. Yeah. And that's why more and more fighters are coming in. But so that's why I think there's less. I mean, Americans are so proud to be American and rightly so, you know, all over the world, wherever they go, they're proud to be an American. But you were just saying that for when an Englishman or a Chinese or a Frenchman walks in, they get a lot of support because it's unusual. Now it's becoming less and less unusual these days. It's becoming more the norm, but that. was just me.
There's no
rebuttaling what you said.
Well, let's try to rebuttal this. How about that?
Okay.
There is no Brazilian that is rooting for an American to beat a Brazilian. Like, if there's a card in Brazil or America, it doesn't matter. People watching worldwide.
I've had Americans root for me over an American.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We don't care. Americans aren't, we don't really give a shit about nationalistic pride. We will root for, I was rooting for George St. Pierre over...
Me?
Over you, obviously.
God damn! Thank you, I knew it. That's why you didn't come to the fight. Is that...
But I it doesn't, there, somebody's... nationality doesn't matter to me, whereas I think everybody in other countries, it really matters to them.
No. I think what it is just that, for example, so let's use at the weekend, Zhang Weili, she's the only Chinese person to fight for a belt, right? And so they get behind her because it's one of their own. When you've got 30 of them on the card, you know what I mean? It's a little watered down, that's all it is.
But every card internationally, it's 30 of them on a card. It's half the... They always line it up with all Chinese fighters on one side.
They try and stack it with local talent, yes. Yeah, but whoever's at the top of the food chain, that's the one that they've seen in the magazines, in the newspapers, on the websites. That's the one that's dominating their mind space because they're the one that they see and that the media focuses on. So naturally,
I'm also not knocking it, really, because I remember when I watched...
Yeah, what are we even talking about?
When I watched the Spider-Man movie with my son, and he's like half black,
into
half
the
Puerto Rican. Spider-Verse. And he's half black, half Puerto Rican. It's great. It's awesome.
Lucas won't watch it.
Because he's racist. We already discussed this.
He won't watch it. He won't
watch it. Spider-Man is white, Dad. I'm out.
Yeah, he's like, what is this bullshit? Hey, is that, you serious? You're supposed to buy this? Peter Parker has been white for a very long time, okay? No, he won't watch cartoons, superhero stuff.
So good. But I remember watching it with my son, and, you know, I'm half Puerto Rican. And my son, he looks like me. He's brown skin.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's watching...
Olive skin.
Yeah. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
But he's watching a superhero on screen that looks more like him. I sort of understand...
So he could connect.
It was the first time I really understood it. Because they made such a big deal about Black Panther. And it was like, you know, every...
Why couldn't he just be Panther?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We have
imagine
eyes.
Imagine if we made a movie called White Panther.
A little redundant. We have eyes. All right,
Yeah. Black. He's black. We get it. Panthers are also black.
Oh, check your wallet. Black Panther showed up.
We just called them Panthers, okay? There's no need to specify the color, okay? You know? Jeez Louise.
Shit. But yeah, there's... I sort of understand having that...
Tried out for a part in Black Panther as well.
Would you try out for what part?
I fucking don't know.
The Black Panther?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, I don't know why. No, he's not right for the role.
Yeah.
No, I forget which part it was, but I came close. I never got the part, though, obviously.
Superhero
so
movie.
Fuck that
you get
movie.
You get into the
fuck
MCU.
That movie.
By the way, you guys don't want Michael Bisping to get into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'm trying.
He's gone. He's off this show. The second his agent says, hey, dude, just so you know, Wonder Woman 3, you're going to play some fucking goon. He's gone. He's leaving the show. It's going to be me, Harrington, and fucking Nolan.
Like, what's that? Okay, guys, peace out. See you, guys. Nolan, thanks for the coffee. Yeah, adios.
All right, Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about BetterHelp, which is a really cool company that hooks you up with online counselors. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, anger, family conflicts, and many, many more. They let you connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private environment online, so you do everything either through video chat or audio chat. You can even text your counselor at any time. And in my opinion, it's a very convenient, easy way to go about, you know, receiving help for any of your mental conditions.
Well, no, absolutely. They offer fantastic, convenient service. And you know, in this day and age, mental health has never been more publicly aware. But still, it's still, you know, a lot of men have a problem admitting that they have a problem, you know. And we all need to speak to people at times. We all have dark days. We all have times when we have issues. You know, the pressure's piling on. Maybe financial stresses. You're going through a tough time with your girlfriend. Maybe you've got, you know, substance abuse issues. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're seeing fucking invisible men or whatever, or you think you're invisible. Maybe you're having legit problems like that. Either way, if you've got anything on your mind, it's always better to speak to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, you know, and unfortunately.
And it's difficult to be restricted by your area. So, like, let's say you're in the, you know, a certain area, maybe there's three licensed professionals in your area. Maybe those people aren't right for you. This is a great way. I've seen a lot of therapists in my life, and the first five therapists I saw, I hated. And I hated going to therapy, and I would quit after two sessions.
Well, the good news with this is that if you are not happy with your therapist, you can request a new one at any time.
Boom.
With no additional charge.
Get out of here. Bah, 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 bah. Power of the internet. Bring me another one.
I know. So, anyway, so listen, if you
you got something you want to talk about, and I know I do, and no doubt whoever's listening to this right now, you probably do as well. You know there's an issue. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be a better human being, and I'm going to take advantage of better help and just do that and become a better person and speak to some people. And they say a problem shared is a problem halved. Well, if you want to give it a try, I've got a special offer for the Believe You Me listeners. Go to betterhelp.com/believe. betterhelp.com/believe. And yeah, there you go. Get started today. And if you go to betterhelp.com/believe, we will give you 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/believe. Yeah, good luck with everything. And yeah, hope it all works out. All right, back to the show. What else is going on?
We'll talk about the fight a little bit because there's other stuff to talk about.
Hold on.
Well.
No, you were going to talk about Kevin Hart. He had a nasty car accident this morning. I know that's, you know, with him being a comedian and you love to talk about comedians and how comedians suffer and this and that and talk about the art of comedy and bore everyone to death. Go on. Now's your time. Take 5 minutes. Do it. Do
it. Man, you know what? A lot of people appreciate this. I know it's a fight podcast, but there's a good percentage of these fans that also go, hey, you know what? Getting up there on stage, just one man, one microphone, you against the world.
Yeah.
That's a real fight.
I get it.
A lot of people say that.
Kevin Hart, what happened? I mean, listen, I saw it. He's driving down the streets at 1 o'clock in the morning.
What I'm assuming is that the telephone book that he sits on to reach the pedals must have slipped somehow underneath the brake. No, I have no idea. What happened?
He just ran off the road. I saw it on the news this morning. He ran off the road. He's got a very serious back injury. Apparently, he's got to have surgery. The car was upside down, yet smashed to pieces. Two people were trapped inside the car, but he was able to climb out and run off down the street to his own house to call for help.
Yeah.
Do you think
call the cops or do you think call The Rock? I would call The Rock anytime. Any excuse to call The Rock, I'd be like,
hey, you're not going to believe this, man. I can't do a mini black person.
You can do a mini black person.
I can do a black person without a mini black person.
Does it have any more information as to where is it? Let's say comedian Kevin Hart suffered major back injuries in a car accident early Sunday morning.
Hold on. This is the thing. I keep saying on multiple channels, major back injuries, but they won't elaborate. And you know, with the news, they want to make it sound bad.
Yeah.
Right? They want the doom and gloom. They want everyone to pay attention. Go, oh my God, he might be dead.
One of the top hits is paralyzed. Kevin Hart paralyzed.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what they want to put out there. So I guarantee he sprained his back. He's okay.
I hope he's okay.
He'll be well, so do I.
I don't know Kevin Hart. I've met him a couple times, but Big J, who you know very well. They grew up doing comedy together.
Oh, no way.
In Philly, they were almost a duo act at one point, Big J and Lil Kev. Like, they would go up, they would tour together, and they were very, very, very close. So I have some very close friends that are very close with him, I hope he's okay. I'm assuming that, I mean, it has to, see if there's any updates on it. I mean, it can't be that bad. You would have heard worse.
He wasn't intoxicated. I saw
that. He wasn't driving.
Yeah. Yeah, but he wasn't intoxicated either, apparently, when they did tests. So that's out the window. I do hope he's okay. You ever been in a car crash, Lewis?
Wait, did he say that? Being home makes me happy? Who said that? Has not commented.
Being home makes me happy.
His last post was on Instagram of him jumping into a pool. Okay, being home makes
me
happy.
No comment yet.
Jesus Christ. I really hope he's okay. Yeah, I have been to a few car accidents. Nothing crazy serious.
Yeah.
I remember I might have even told the story on the podcast before, but I'll recap real quick. But it was Christmas Eve when I was like 11 years old, and we went to go see the Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme as Guile.
I think you've mentioned it, but continue.
Yeah. And we were poor, and fucking my mom spent the last of her money on fucking Christmas gifts, and I got a three disc.
Now
CD
I remember.
Changer.
Oh God,
yeah, it's so
you
sad.
Get ready to cry, Noel. Oh, Jesus Christ, we get it. You know what this is.
What is it? You playing with your tiny dick?
continue.
So, yeah, she like T-boned another car Christmas Eve after we saw this movie late at night, just tired. Totaled the car. So depressed. And then the next morning on Christmas Day, the pick four lotto came out. The number came out that she plays. And my sister runs in. She's like, Mom, your number came out. It would have been like $5,000, which is like, you know, basically enough for a new car for us. You know, we're buying a nice car. And my mom just started breaking down crying because all that happened. She didn't play her numbers that night.
I know.
And that was that.
I know.
Fucking,
it is a terrible story. And so I do terrible. Feel for your mother and you guys back then. But, you know.
It's okay. She's dead.
You can only bring this up so many times to where I'll continue to feel sorry. Next time, I'm going to mock it.
Did you know that my father was stabbed to death when I was
a child? You've never mentioned that before. Mentioned that one either. Car crashes. I've been in a couple of good ones. I remember one time I got picked up from work when I was working as an upholsterer. Rebecca picked me up. I had to drive over this big hill called Pendle Hill. And it was late. It was a winter's night. And at the end of the street, there's a big, you know, kind of like a freeway, you know, a motorway. But you got to cross it. So you got to wait for the right time, wait for the no traffic to be there. And we're having an argument in the car, right? No. She's in the front seat. Callum's in the back. He's like only a few months old. He's in the car seat. I'm in the passenger seat. And we're arguing. And she likes to say it's my fault because we were arguing. But listen, I weren't behind the wheel. And anyway, she pulled out. And then all of a sudden, bang, like the most loudest fucking bang you've ever heard in your life. And then I just saw a guy's face with a motorbike helmet smash through the windscreen in front of me and roll off down the street. She'd pulled out and a motorbike was driving down about 60, 70 miles an hour with no lights on because it got dark and it was early in the day, but it got dark quickly. Didn't have his lights on. She pulled out, hit the front of the car, smashed into the windscreen, rolled down the street. I'm like, holy fuck, because he hit on that side. Near to like the passenger door to where Callum was. So I'm worried that Callum's hurt and that. I'm like, is everyone okay? Everyone seemed fine. So I jump out the car and I run down to him and I'm like, what the fuck, man? You didn't have your lights on.
This is bleeding.
I did. I know. My initial thing was to start giving him abuse because I was worried for my family. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
His ribs have punctured his lungs. He's bleeding out on the ground.
Well, listen. And then I quickly changed my tact because I went over to him. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I said, you could have killed my family. And then he just goes, his first words were, have you called me an ambulance? I'm like, what do you mean have I called you an ambulance? It just fucking happened. How could I have called you an ambulance already? You just hit us. And he's like, my leg's broke. I'm like, well, you don't know that. He goes, it's broken. I'm like, oh, shit. And then I thought, what am I doing? Because I was in shock as well.
Yeah, of course.
It just hit us hard. It was literally seconds after it happened, and I was freaked out. And I'm like, oh, shit, shit, shit. Hold on, let me call an ambulance, call the police right now. Anyway, he was fine. He was fine. Another time, driving home from the same factory myself, I was driving along, and went around a corner, maybe a little bit too fast, you know. Maybe a little bit too fast. It was icy. It was winter. And the police said it was an adverse camber, but I went up the side. It was kind of like a hill. I kind of lost control. No, that was it. A car came around the corner fast, so I had to swerve out the way. And as I swerved, I kind of lost control and went up the banking at the side. And then I went up far enough, and then whoa, the car went upside down.
Oh, wow.
Car went upside down. I'm sliding down this hill on an upside down car. Boom, it hits a tree, spins around a few times and stops.
Welcome to season one of Hyperdrive. That's how you got the idea.
It stops on like a bend. Do you know what I mean? I'm stuck in a car upside down on a bad bend. And I'm thinking, if a car comes around the corner fast,
it's over.
I'm fucked. So I'm trying to get out and I can't get out. So I had to punch my way out the window, smash the window. I had to punch it like 20 times to smash it. I know you would have done it in one shot. And I crawled out, and the only injury I had was my hand from punching the window through.
I would just headbutted the window.
Oh,
I'm a real man.
No, you're a real man with a bad foot. I know, I get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I remember when another time, I was 17 years old, and I used to borrow my mom's car all the time. Dodge Neon. Shitty Dodge Neon. And me and my friends were hanging out one night, and it was like a rainy night. But it wasn't rainy. It had rained. It was like a little bit like just wet. And I just went around a turn a little too fast, and I hit, it's like a little bit of a puddle, and I kind of like, I go, what do they call it, hydroplaning?
Yeah.
I sort of
aquaplaning.
Aquaplaning.
In the UK. Hydroplane, aquaplane, yeah,
if you're speaking metric.
Aqua, hydro, same thing.
Yeah, okay.
So
I hit a guardrail, and it just put a little dent in the front end right by the light. The light was still working, but it was dented in. And once again, there's no fixing it. There's no $600 for that body work or whatever it is. Like, that's just now my mom has a dent in her fucking car. That's the way it worked. So I remember I went back. I was working at KFC at the time, and my manager was like, here's what you got to do. It was Mother's Day. He was like, you got to go across the street into ShopRite, the shopping center, and buy her flowers for Mother's Day, and then come out and just call. He goes, call the cops and file a fake police report. And say that somebody hit the car.
Yeah.
Because it was a dent.
No, I get it. And then you can claim an insurance and all the rest of it. Yeah. But what was the... So what happened?
So I called the cops. The cops came and they were like... the cops didn't believe me at all. He was like, yeah, so somebody hit this car, right? I was like, yeah. Yes, sir. And he goes, well, what's all this mud that's around the tires? Like, you...
went off the road and hit into something. He literally said that. I was like, I don't know, man. Somebody must have put some mud on my tires. It's so weird. I don't know why they would do that. And he just didn't believe me at all, but he still fucking filed the report.
I had a similar thing recently when I was in England last time when I was there for the documentary after they put me in the Hall of Fame. If you remember.
Committed insurance fraud.
No, please stop telling everybody. I didn't commit insurance fraud. Somebody drove into the side of me. Did I tell this story on the podcast?
No, you didn't.
My mate Daz had got me a brand new Audi SUV from the Audi dealership, right? They were kind of fans, so they hooked it up, you know, which was very nice of them. As I say, a brand new, beautiful car. I'm staying at this bed and breakfast. I jump in the car one morning, I reverse, and then all of a sudden, bang! And this local fucking builder, what's his name? Because I'm going to shame this bastard. He's a lying piece of
Bob.
Shit. Right, because he hit me, and I looked in the mirror, and the van had backed right into me, where the petrol cap is. Okay, so I couldn't reverse into him because he T-boned me backwards into the petrol cap.
So no matter what he's saying,
it's hit me
physically impossible.
Yes.
for you to drive your car sideways into him.
But instead of jumping out the car right then and there and looking at it all and taking a picture, I panicked and drove forward. So when I drove forward, it kind of scraped and made a mess.
It made it worse.
And and fucking like dragged the bumper off and all sorts. You know, I just panicked. I'm like, shit.
You pinned an old lady against the wall.
I go forward and then I jump out the car and he's there. He's going, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you were there. And I'm like, I wouldn't give a fuck, but it's not my car. That's the only thing I care about. These people have done me a really nice service. They've lent me a brand new car. And now it looks like I'm being disrespectful and I've got to bring it back and it's a mess, right?
God.
But then he sees an opportunity because I drove forward to dispute it. And he starts saying, no, you backed into me. I'm like, no, buddy, I didn't back into you. You just apologized for backing into me. He's like, yeah, but look at these scrapes here. Anyway, long story short, when it came down to it, he fucking denied it. He denied it to the insurance. And I lived in America, so I just had to pay it. The son of a bitch. I forget your name right now, but when I do on a further podcast, I am shaming you. Do not do business with this man. He's actually working on my sister's house as we speak.
There's Bisping's car right now. This is what happened.
I'll find you.
This is what happened. So wait, you were the blue car, right, Mike?
What is
this? No, that's the TMZ.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart accident.
Yeah, son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Real quick before we get off this, you made me think of something else. Because my dad, when he came out of the army, when we first lived in Clitheroe, he worked at a garage, a petrol station, but they had a showroom and sold brand new cars as well. And we go in there, and my dad like ran the shop and the gas side. He was like the forecourt manager. And we go in there at the weekends as kids and look in the brand new cars and stuff, you know. And they always had the keys in, and we'd start them up and stuff. Mm-hmm. But Conrad, my older brother, he didn't know because not all cars, the majority of cars in England are a manual, a stick, and it was in first gear. And he didn't know.
Oh, no.
And he started the engine just to hear the purr. When he started the engine, the brand new car shot forward and smashed into another brand new car right there. Yeah. Yeah. And we were like, shit. And my dad was like, fuck. So he came. My dad got bloody. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this.
Statute of limitations. This is way too long.
Yeah. It's a long, long time ago. It's like 30 years ago at least. Yeah, 32 years. He got like he wiped down fingerprints and everything. He just like totally dusted it, and then said nothing. And then when he went into work the next day, there's obviously a big investigation. And like, Jan, you were the person that was here. And he's like, no, I don't know anything about it. And the cops came. There was no fingerprints. There was nothing.
Wow.
He just stuck to his guns. If I'm getting you in trouble, Dad, I'm really sorry. But
no. At this point, did your dad flip out?
Oh, yeah, flipped out to the max. Of course he did. Fucking hell.
He beat Conrad after
beat
death.
Both of us within an inch of our life. Jesus Christ.
You didn't even do anything wrong.
I didn't do anything wrong. I always knew what to do, though. When we used to get in the cars when we were in trouble, I think I've said this before, right? We'd get in the car and we'd get in the back, and my dad, when he would be driving, would always lean back.
Yeah.
And he'd beat the fuck out of whoever he could get his hands to. But if you sat behind him, it was really hard to, but Conrad, so I'd always get that seat. I'd always jump in the car first and sit right behind him as much as I could, and Conrad would be there. So it's an easy shot there to lean back and hit Conrad.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get me. And then most of the time, by the time we got home, he'd calmed down. Conrad had had a good hiding, but I'd make it out all right.
Yeah, my mom would come at me with a belt, and I would always put a blanket on me, and I would basically essentially point my knees and hands to create almost like a tent. So, like, the belt would whip the blanket, but I would still act like every time it got me, I would freak out. Like,
sorry, Mom.
Yeah. The way you survive as a kid. We mentioned Callum before, and I forgot to mention this. I saw on Rebecca's Instagram and then your Instagram, What happened now? Well, he just won third in something.
Yeah. I think it was the Greco-Roman World Championships.
Freestyle, I think.
Sorry, pardon me. Yeah, Greco, I think. Greco-Roman. Whatever it was. It might be freestyle. It might be Greco. I forget. If you look on Instagram. But whatever.
It was
one of them. And yeah, he came third. I mean, the guy that he lost to, he only lost by 1 point. He lost two matches. I think he won three, lost two. But the two that he lost were super, super close. And the guy was like 40 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's only 18. But now he is the official representative for Team Great Britain on a worldwide stage.
That's awesome.
I know.
What does that mean when you say a worldwide stage? Because I know the ultimate goal probably is to get to the Olympics,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
But what does that sort of mean? How is he representing England?
Yeah, well, it means now whenever there's a wrestling tournament at 92 kilos, he'll be the guy that they send.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so awesome, and there would be a lot of international travel all over the world throughout the Commonwealth and yeah, whatever. Russia, South Africa, Australia,
crazy
places. Yeah, so whenever they go, he's the guy. He's the guy that's going to be representing Great Britain. So, yeah, super, super proud. So, well done, son. Very proud of you. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from Blue Chew. If you like sex, you're going to like BlueChew.com. Blue Chew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. I mean, we all want to go a little bit longer, okay? Put in a better performance. Make your man, woman, boyfriend, girlfriend happier. Well, with Blue Chew, you get the first chewables with the same active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. Blue chewables can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast, and the chewables that come from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. The online physician consult is free, so it's cheaper than taking Viagra or Cialis. It only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Ships directly to your door in discreet packaging, and the chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor and made in the USA, Lewis.
Yeah, that's the best part of all. I mean, we talk all the time. Convenience is life now, baby boys. We live in the internet, okay? You don't want to take your time to go to the doctor, then take your time to go to the pharmacy, then wait in all these lines with the waiting room. That is time that you can be fucking.
And a lot of people are forming an opinion. They're like, look at this guy.
Yeah, look at him.
Look at him. He needs an enhancement.
What's wrong with his dick?
Hey, everyone. We got another guy getting Silas on aisle three.
Yeah, what a
loser.
Avoid the shame that you have from your tiny, unworking dick. You can do it all online. You could do it all to your door, and you could change your life. I know we are joking around here, but I'm completely serious when I say this. It has changed the way that I am enjoying sex. I can go 2-3 rounds in a night if I want. If I want, I can go faster, longer,
easy,
more sweatier. This thing's getting turned on right now.
My God, just grab my penis.
He did. This is changing the way that you will look at sex. I'm telling you right now, BlueChew.com is the website. If you use the promo code BELIEVE when you check out, you're going to get your first order for free. It's going to pay $5 shipping. So free hard dicks from Michael Bisping. You guys hear it first, okay? Hard penis from Michael Bisping.
You're being very vulgar. But seriously, if you would like that... Go to BlueChew.com, promo code BELIEVE, and just pay $5 shipping. Okay, where were we? Alright, should we talk about these fights at the weekend?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the fights. I was in Hawaii, so it was a crazy time difference. The time zones were messing us all up. I mean, break it down. I think a lot of people were thinking that Andrade was going to tear through.
Well, how many BYM coins, BIM coins, did you put on this?
Bisping. Harrington actually tweeted out.
Yeah.
I know I'm down, I think, 300 BIM coin. I'll try to find it right now really quick. You're down. You didn't know what any people were. Harrington is in first place right now.
Yeah, well, good for him because his life depends on this.
Well, if he gets 10,000 BIM coin, then we give him 1,000 real dollars.
Yeah, but that's only if he can be flawless as well in the studio. I'm moving the goalpost a little bit, but he's got to step his game up. He can't keep... you know, failing us and be rewarded. Okay, so don't fail us and get 10,000 BIM coin, you'll get 1,000 real dollars.
Yeah, let's see, here we go. So, I think he ended up only losing like 7 BIM coin because he bet very...
annoyingly.
Yeah, annoyingly.
Yeah, took it very seriously, got his calculator out and all the rest of it.
What was it, a 42-second finish?
42 seconds, yeah. So the thing is, I favored Andrade as well, if I'm honest. When you look at Zhang Weili, because you got to say the last name first. That's how it is with Chinese names. If you, this is what I know now through my research, that I just spent so many hours researching different cultures, reading books, just finding out about the Chinese people so I can really hone into them and tap into their culture, their spirit, and their personalities when I'm commentating. Mm. You see, that's the level I go to, Lewis.
I understand. You're very
You got to say the last name, and Chinese last names are one syllable. So you say the one syllable word first. So Zhang Weili going forward from now, please, Lewis.
Weili Zhang. That's what I was saying the whole time. In fact, to be honest with you, I wasn't even saying Weili Zhang. I was saying
Zhang.
I was saying that chick.
It's Zhang Weili.
Zhang Weili.
Zhang Weili. Anyway, she had three fights in the UFC, three good fights, three good wins, one stoppage via armbar. But still, you know, I mean, when you look at Jessica Andrade, she's knocked out great people. She slammed Rose Namajunas on her head. She's been around the UFC for longer. So listen, yeah, I favored her. I did. But you can't just run at your opponents. And in the past, Andrade, for the most part, made a career out of, you know, I don't mean just running. There's more technical nuances to it than that. But she charges forward with punching combinations, tries to get her opponent up against the fence. And if she can't do it with the hands there, then she can grab them and try and pick them up and slam them and go to work with the ground and pound, look for submissions, whatever. That's what she always does. But you can't just run forward at your opponents in mixed martial arts. And Zhang obviously has a bit of pop in her shots because she was running. Andrade was running Zhang down, just running at her, trying to do a thing, those long punching combinations, and bang! It was a beautiful right hand, stopped her in her tracks. Then she followed it up with some elbows, some knees, and I was watching. I'm like, holy shit, this is crazy. But there you go, new world champion.
That's it, yeah, and you kind of touched on it before. You know, the UFC, obviously, where, you know, wherever the chips may fall, they may fall. Luckily, it's the most exciting sport in the world.
Yeah.
But now they have a Chinese champion. They have somebody, an entire country that's very, very excited. What was the energy like in the arena?
The energy, when she did that, I mean, it was incredible. The place, you know, the roof went off the place. And she was, yeah, I mean, I got a lot of things to say about that. One, I thought, not only her performance, but she was awesome afterwards on the microphone. She was, my name is Zhang Weili. Remember my name. I'm from China. Something like that, which, you know, she said it better than what I did. And Gerard was standing there looking, because I did the post-fight interviews, and we need to talk about this, by the way.
Somebody said something. There was some
It's
confusion.
Very difficult. I'm there. I'm English, right? I speak English. Zhang is Chinese, and Andrade is Portuguese. And so we all speak different languages. I don't speak Brazilian or Portuguese or Chinese, and she doesn't speak English or Chinese. You know, none of us speak each other's languages. So we got, there's me, and there's two interpreters, translators, and then the two fighters. So we're all there, and I'm walking
That's
in.
Literally the makings of how you start a world war by accident.
Yeah.
It's like just a game of international telephone that somehow Trump has his fingers on the nukes, and then that's it. We're dead.
Well, I'm walking in, and the producer says, okay, for the Portuguese translation, Tiago is going to be your man. Tiago is going to do it. And I'm like, who the fuck's Tiago? I don't know who Tiago is. I haven't been briefed beforehand who Tiago is. And they're saying it's one of her teammates. And I don't know who her teammates are. So I talk to Zhang. And Zhang's, you know, talking in Chinese. I go back to the Chinese translator. The Chinese translator, Zhang Weili, you know, whatever she said. She said her language, okay, right? I'm not being racist. She said her fucking language. That just sounded like gibberish to me, but it wasn't. It was Chinese. And then I go to the Chinese translator, and I give it to him. And he repeats it back in Chinese. He goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then in my earpiece, they're like, he needs to translate it to English. He's repeating what she said in Chinese.
Like a hype man.
Yeah. So I'm like, yo, buddy, English, motherfucker, what are you doing? So then he's like, oh, shit, yeah. So he does it in English. And then I had to get it translated to Portuguese. So I have to go speak to Zhang. She says it in Chinese. Then the Chinese guy says it in English. Then the English guy says it in Portuguese. Listen, I don't even know what it is. It's a hard thing to do.
I like the old days, just all Americans.
See,
better.
See the top of the show. That's what I said.
But that it's not racism. We're just saying, just for a pure logistical standpoint,
just for smoothness of interview,
post-fight
on TV, it's a lot smoother if all you motherfuckers learn English. I'm just saying, my job would be easier.
Yeah,
you know.
What's even the point of having you in there to do the interview at that point? It's just you sitting there confused.
Is there any other language that we can speak on here? Let's just throw a few other in. Yeah, so that was a little bit challenging. But I tell you what, though. I was, as I'm talking to Zhang, I'm looking at Andrade. And Andrade is looking at Zhang with, like, almost, admiration in her face. You know, she had a... I just thought it was amazing. I thought it was beautiful. Obviously, she wanted to win that fight. She went forward very, very aggressively. But she was looking at her like... She was just a graceful loser. She handled it so well. As somebody said to me at the airport, he said, did it not bother you, Michael? She didn't look bothered. She looked like she didn't care. And I said, well, no, it was the other way for me. I thought, wow. Of course, she's crushed inside, but she's like, you know, she beat me fair and square. Fair play to her. And I thought it was a beautiful thing.
So it's not her first time she's lost either. She's got 7 losses on her record. It's not like she's tasted defeat before, yeah. You know? And maybe there's something sort of in her head somewhere, whether it's subconsciously or consciously, where she's like, hey, you know what? If I'm going to lose, let's lose to somebody who's an incredible competitor, but it's also going to elevate the sport to another level internationally. Yep. That's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Her getting into a complete other market, having a Chinese champion and all the dollars that are in that country, that will only benefit everybody in the UFC, everybody not only in the UFC, but in mixed martial arts, other industries, podcasters, radio. Getting into a whole other market is absolutely huge. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something there where she was like, well, fuck it. If I'm going to lose, that's the type of person I want to lose to.
Well, the thing is as well, because you're absolutely right, everything you just said there about a whole new market and stuff. I mean, 1.4 billion people. And when you think of China, you know, when you think of China, what's the first thing you think of?
Dog meat.
Dog meat. Okay, second thing. Human trafficking.
Rub and tugs.
Pink punk shows.
Fingernails getting done. Massage.
Martial arts is going to be there at some point.
Yes, martial arts.
No, but you do, right?
I do.
When you think of this, can you say the Far East? What can you and can't you say these days? Far East is fine.
The Orient, I think.
You can't say the Orient.
Cannot say the Orient.
You can say that in England.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I think that people don't correct you.
Bring up, why is it offensive to call that part of the world the Orient? Or
Orientals,
yeah. Why is that?
Why can't you say Oriental? Because it's a rug.
Is it?
That's the type of rug. It's a style of rug.
Is it really? I actually just thought it was a word to describe that part of the world.
No, that's very
racist. Really? I never knew that. No. So, all right, well, maybe that is a bad word.
This is interesting. What is it's a title of a... L.A. Times.
Is outdated, but is it racist?
Okay.
And then they show Margaret Cho.
So come on, read it out, because my eyes are terrible.
Let's see, go down.
You can't just give us the headline.
It is now politically incorrect to use the word Oriental, and the admonition?
Admonition, bro. You don't know what that means?
Whatever,
come
bro.
On. The fucking admonition, man.
Has the force of law. President Obama recently signed a bill prohibiting the use of the term in all federal documents.
This is boring.
Yeah, this is boring as fuck.
Boring as fuck. Edit.
Who cares? Oh, wait, let's see. Hold on. Right
as
here.
As an Oriental.
Most Asians, Americans have had other epithets hurled at them at one time or another. Chink, slant eye, gook, nip, zipperhead. I've never heard zipperhead.
Zipperhead, yeah.
Why zipperhead?
I've never heard zipperhead.
Listen, you zipperhead.
That's hilarious.
Hey, we might be saying a bad one here. Just be careful. Tread
carefully. Who cares?
If you listen
to a comedy podcast and you get offended by Asian jokes, you shouldn't even press play on a podcast.
What is a zipper head?
And I don't know.
What is the reference?
I don't know.
I think I've worked it out.
What is it? What is it?
I'm not saying.
Let me see. Zipper head.
A sideways?
No.
I don't know.
No. Why? Yeah. What's the?
What is the? All right. Explain zipper head.
I'm looking for it.
The origin of zipperhead. I would love
anyway,
to find
I
out.
Was saying, well, how did we get onto this?
I don't know. It's hilarious. I like to be able to
Oriental.
I like to read that article and be able to say all those racist terms without getting in trouble.
I was just reading it.
Remember I told you the story on The Ultimate Fighter, how they thought I called the cameraman a chink.
I know, it's hilarious.
I said, get out, you cheeky bastard. And then he comes back in. I'd see the producer the next day. We will not tolerate racial slurs. I'm like, what are you talking about? You told him to get out, you chinky bastard. I said, no. I said, cheeky bastard. Nolan, zipperhead, go.
Zipperhead's brutal.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. It's from the Korean War, and it's American soldiers claiming that they had tire tracks from the jeeps that they ran over their heads.
Oh, Jesus.
Brutal.
Oh, my God.
It's so much worse.
Oh, my God.
It's so much worse than we could have imagined.
They called them zipperheads because they crushed their heads left tire tracks on their heads. That's so bad.
That's
if anybody uses the word
proud to be
head.
An American where at least I know I'm free.
Oh, man. Hey, by the way, a lot of the world is free.
And I won't forget the man who died
A lot of the world is free. I just want to point that out. Listen, I'm not criticizing, but the land of the free.
And the home of the brave.
Okay.
So you need to be free and brave. Oh. Name a country that has that, bitch.
Oh, fucking hell. Well,
we're brave.
A lot of places are free and brave.
These colors don't run.
They're free and brave, which is good for you. It's great. But just know you're not the only ones.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, free and brave.
Yeah, but what are the countries... What other countries would you rather live in? You can live anywhere you want. You still choose to live in America.
I'm stuck here. I'm trapped.
No,
My children.
Your children hate you.
And let's not turn this into a thing because we're going to alienate me from the podcast. I like living in America, but I'm kind of stuck here because of the kids.
Of course.
You know, but I like being here. I chose to come here.
So Callum's going to be in South Africa wrestling, okay?
Exactly. Thank God.
So all right,
anyway, we were talking about... Oh, so this is what I was going to say. When you think of China, what do you think? One of the first things is martial arts, I would say, right? You know, all jokes aside, when you think of it, you think of martial arts. And of course, there is a lot of fantastic martial arts from China. You think of Bruce Lee, people like that. There's a lot of martial arts, but you don't think of mixed martial arts. Who's this? Hold on, Adam said like crap. I'm doing my podcast. I'll call him back. You don't think of mixed martial arts. But now they will, or the arts of mixed martial. You don't think of that.
Oh, the arts of mixed martial.
The arts of mixed martial is not thought of here.
Would you ever try dog meat?
Never in a million fucking years. If somebody presented me with dog meat, I mean, I'd be a slight bit more annoyed than if you presented like some red meat, a steak, because I don't eat that shit.
Yeah,
I don't eat mammals.
I'd say, take that back, sir. I will take a salad. That's it.
I'll take a turkey burger.
Maybe
a chicken.
Yeah.
Slice.
Do you have any Beyond Dog, possibly?
Do they? They still do that. They still eat dog there. That's insane.
I don't know. I know that they have the dog eating festival in that one country.
They do.
It's real. Bad. Like you can go to a restaurant and order dog.
Ugh.
But
the bad thing is that you know they scare the dog as much as possible before they kill it.
That's how you tenderize it. Mm,
I know.
Delicious.
Because it releases adrenaline, and apparently. That makes it better. And they skin it alive.
How do they scare it?
I don't know. Send Harrington in.
Yeah. What do they do?
Turn the light on in the middle of the night and there's Harrington naked.
Look that up.
Shit their pants.
Is there any truth to that? They scare the dog to make it more... To release hormones and to make it...
Yeah, tender? No, that's... They do.
That's hilarious. They sit it down and make it watch The Exorcist.
Nolan, just look that up. How do they scare the dogs? Because that's bloody awful.
They just come in with fucking...
Scare them?
They scare dogs before they kill them.
Yeah, to make it
more... It's pretty easy to scare a dog, though.
Dogs are pussies.
No. But if you're a dog, you're locked up in a cage, you got those big brown eyes, you just go... You know, you don't need an elaborate scaring technique. It's pretty fucking easy.
Yeah.
Prod them with a stick. They're shit in their pants already.
You can take two pots and just bang it in its face.
They've been held hostage, taken away to a strange land, kept in a chain cage, and they're about to be eaten. I think it suffices to say they're already pretty scared.
Yeah, welcome to the world of every fucking cow we've ever heard of, dogs. All right? How about that? How about that, doggies? Hold on. You've
Nolan,
had it too good for
well,
too long.
Is aghast with horror.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that Americans run over its head with a truck first. Please don't tell me that's the way we scare these dogs.
No, I'm having... I can't find the process, but I'm just reading, like, they boil them alive and shit. Like,
China.
It's like a lobster.
I'm going to tell you
this. What you got to do. You got to boil it alive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
That's so sad. It is. In this day and age, there's no need for that. China, I was just there. It was great. The people were lovely. For the most part. For the most part, the people were very, very nice. Okay? Stop with the fucking dogs.
What percentage of Chinese people eat dog meat in China?
Ooh, good one.
I thought...
Good one. Let's take a guess real fast. I'm going to say it's not that many. I reckon it's like 20% in like... And I would assume, and I might be wrong here, like out in like the more... country bumpkin type of places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd like to think in the cities, you know, they're a little more civilized.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I remember it was a rumor as a kid that the Chinese restaurants would find cats and dogs in the area and they would chop them up and use them for meat. But that had to... I always assumed that was a rumor.
Same with the Indian restaurants in England. It's, oh, be careful. There'll be dog and cats in there. But sometimes when health inspectors went in, they were found to be doing that. It was like reported in the newspapers and stuff.
Really?
So that was a real thing.
Did you see the...
Come on. You can go to the supermarket and buy a chicken breast very cheap. I mean, how much are you saving by catching a cat, slaughtering it, stripping it down?
Yeah, the manpower alone.
The amount of time it takes to do that. Or
at
just
least
buy
1 hour.
Packaged chicken breast.
I think a chicken breast would cost like $4, right? Just this package. The amount of time that you would put into catching a cat.
It's not easy to catch a cat, okay? Then you're going to skin it, and you're going to do it all covertly because you can't be open about it. You're out in the night. You're like, you're going to do it at 4 in the morning. That's going to take away from the service you give during the day because you're already tired because you're up all night chasing cats.
I'm just saying from a pure business standpoint, logistically speaking.
Buy the chicken.
Buy the chicken.
Put the effort from chasing the cats into your business. Boom. Gary V 101. Nolan, go ahead.
According to a survey in 2016, 70% of Chinese people say they've never eaten dog meat.
Of yeah, those, no, ask. Yeah, you can't ask them. I wouldn't admit it either.
Yeah, well, you're right.
70% has, that's more though. That's 30% says they
well,
have.
Well, what do you say? Half are lying? So let's say 35. So that means roughly 60% do. But according to them, only 30% to maybe the year well, kind of this? Bumpkin theory.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you rather eat if you had to choose one? Homeless dog, homeless cat. What is it?
Homeless dog, homeless cat. I mean, oof. I'd eat a cat all day over a dog. Over a dog.
Yeah.
Those little shits. They're sly little fuckers, man. Listen, I get that people have cats, and good for you, and you get company out of it. But go ahead, Nolan. But hold on. But cats, they don't really care about you. They just come.
Yeah. When they'll go with anybody.
They'll rub up against your leg. They just want food.
They're manipulative, yeah.
They're manipulative little shits. They don't really care about you. A dog is so happy to see you when you come home.
You can not feed your dog. You can beat him every day with a hammer, and he will just crawl over to you and still lick your hand because he loves you so much. Get away.
I've never put it to the test. I've never tried that theory.
Get away, you big, ugly dog.
And they just want to come. Come on.
Yeah. Please. You do that one time to a cat, that cat's never coming back.
He's like, fuck you. Peace. I ain't killing birds and bringing them back for you anymore.
I'll tell you why I'd rather eat a dog, because meat essentially is muscle, right?
Yeah.
Dogs are more muscular.
Yeah, no, for
cats.
Sure. They'll carry more lean tissue.
Cat meat's going to taste really shitty, too.
It'll taste terrible. Yeah. Nolan, what did you find?
So they're saying that some of the more rural Chinese they're more friends of dogs.
Rural.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, the rural areas.
They're more into having them they keep them as pets.
Oh,
because they
I
value
see.
Them as herders and things like that.
But in shitty city areas.
Shitty city areas, you got a lot of restaurants that like to sell it because it's cheap. And then high society doesn't like doing it because they know it's unethical.
And then in the cities, there's a lot of poorer people that are really struggling to make ends meet, and therefore they don't have the luxury of having those options.
Yep. So the poor rural, they don't like it, and then the rich ones don't because they think it's right in the middle.
Okay, so if you are a poor person in a city in China,
If you're Harrington, the Chinese Harrington is chowing down.
Guaranteed.
Well, my brother had a dog, a Chinese chow chow. And I think they're called chow chows because they eat them.
Delicious.
Yeah. Chow is Chinese for food. They have seriously.
That's not why they call it a chow.
A fucking chicken chow mein.
Chow chow.
Yeah,
chicken
I'm telling you. Mein. I don't know. And they got a blue tongue. The tongue is the delicatessen. Honestly, it's a delicacy, pardon me. The blue tongue. So yeah, there you go.
That's so funny.
All right, guys. Let me tell you about Monday.com, a team management tool that, the people at Gas Digital started using. I started using it myself recently. Monday.com is a lifesaver and has completely changed how I track projects and make sure I'm getting all the stuff that I need done. Instead of emails, spreadsheets, random audio files, whiteboards with to-do lists, and random post-it notes, Monday.com organizes and tracks everything in one place.
So easy, dude. I'm going to tell you right now, it's super intuitive. Took a few minutes to set up. The entire Gas Digital Network, every show, every producer, every host, they're all on Monday.com, and it makes it really easy. Nolan, think about this. We've been doing the show here a few times now. We've gone back and forth. You're getting emails from Shannon. You're getting emails from Brian. You're getting emails from Nate. You don't even know who the fuck Nate is, okay?
Nope.
Now, imagine you were to just simply log into a Gas Digital page specifically and go into the Believe You Me section. Have everything you need, all of your assets, all of your lower thirds, pictures, music, everything. And then once you're done, you upload it to that section, assign a task to one of the other producers on the end. You know accountability is there. Create a to-do list. All the email lists, all the post-it notes, all the bullshit text messages back and forth between your shows, your producers.
Beautiful.
How much easier is that than what you're doing right now? You're running around like a special ed student.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not getting paid enough. That would be beautiful.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that would be unbelievable. Yeah.
So this is the deal, okay? If you want to check out this incredible service from Monday.com, all you have to do is go to Monday.com/believe, Monday.com/believe, And we're going to give you a 14-day free trial of their premium service. There's no commitment. You can check out monday.com and see for yourself how helpful their software is. You don't have to continue with the service, but do it right now. Go to monday.com, that specific link, monday.com/believe. Get that 14-day free trial. If you have 2 people on a project, if you have 1,000 people on a project, it is going to make your life so much easier, more intuitive, more streamlined, faster, better, more time efficient. Time is money, baby boy. Go do it right now, monday.com/believe. All right, where were we?
I think we've offended China enough. But
what's the weirdest meat you've ever eaten?
Weirdest meat. Weirdest meat I've ever eaten. I was going to come up with a good, big, good point there. Weirdest meat.
It was going to be a dick joke, everyone. I'm going to tell you right now. He's trying to come up with a clever dick joke.
No,
and he left it.
I wasn't. I was actually coming up trying to think of an exotic meat. I don't know. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah. Maybe alligator for me.
Kangaroo. Kangaroo steaks was good. In Australia, it was nice.
Yeah, I had gator.
You did?
Did I have rabbit? I don't know if I had rabbit.
I've had rabbit. Rabbit's not bad.
Frog legs.
I've had those. Terrible. Terrible.
Really? I liked them. They were tasty.
I went to France. I was in Paris. You know, you got to do what, you know, when in Paris, do as Parisians do.
That's Kirongo.
And I'm like, all right, let's give this a shot. I had the French onion soup, which they make a big deal out of. Tastes like dishwater. Yeah. No taste whatsoever. Frog's legs. I don't know if you're aware of this. Not much meat on a frog's leg.
Tiny little legs.
Tiny little bits.
Can I have 300 more frogs, please?
And same with crab. You know when you go to a crab restaurant?
Oh, I love some crab.
I love crab. Ooh. But it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot.
For a little bit of meat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You got to put the bib on. You get it covered in yourself. You're there. You're picking it away. You know, it's very uncouth. And you get a tiny little bit. You're like, it's great.
You're in the same position that I'm in because you probably do it with your kids. And then for Lucas, you have to do it for him.
Yeah,
so now you're spending fucking twice as much time. I would rather do anything. But then you cut yourself always by accident somehow. You always dig it into your fucking hand.
Just give me the meat. I don't need the leg. Oh, it's authentic. It's still in the leg. Yeah, I'd prefer if you take it out the leg.
Yeah, but it's fresher.
Please.
You take it out of the leg, it's going to be gross and dry and weird.
He could do it right there in front of me in the kitchen. He could look at me in the eyes. Yeah, I'm removing the meat from the legs. I'm literally putting it on a plate for you.
One of my favorite restaurants in New York City is a little restaurant called Lolo's, and it's just a little
hole-in-the-wall
crab shack. It's like, you wouldn't even know it existed, and then you go in, and it looks like you're in the Caribbean. You go out back, it's little shitty wooden tables, and they come with a steam bag of crab legs, and it's fucking phenomenal. So I'm getting hungry now talking
about this. I'm starving.
So crab legs.
Screw the second show. Let's go get food after this. No, I was going to say, in China, okay, here's the thing. It's known for the art, for martial arts, not much for the arts of mixed martial, but now I think... You know, like this morning, a lot of people will be inspired by that. Hundreds of millions of children will look at that and look at martial arts now as a viable way to make a living, to take care of your families, something to aspire to. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of Chinese martial arts, big influence over there. Tai Chi, Kung Fu, Jeet Kune Do, Wushu, Sanda. There's all these martial arts. But they're just a hobby, just a way of life. You know, I think now that will really send the message home that listen, you can become an international sporting sensation, an overnight sensation, and earn potentially millions and millions of dollars. So I think now we're going to see a tremendous amount of Chinese fighters. And at the weekend, there were some Chinese fighters on the undercard that made their debut. And holy shit, there's some serious talent out there. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, good for the UFC, good for Chinese fighters. You kind of touched on something with the traditional martial arts thing there, because it's kind of weird to me that there are still so many traditional martial arts places out there. I mean, with the popularity of UFC, you know, also just sort of the knowledge now that, you know that you sort of need all of it. You need to be able to grapple. You need to be able to strike. It's kind of funny to me that you will still see like a traditional, like you could learn Wing Chun fucking whatever, like some... Very slow, like...
Yeah, but...
Well, there's not much of a practical use for it. There's not...
There's a limited practical use. There is, you know, if you're against an equal-sized human being as equal temperament or whatever, then maybe it might give you an opportunity to have the upper hand there. But also, you know, I think traditional martial arts still have a place for just a sense of family, belonging, discipline, respect, just to learn things, to exercise your mind and your body, even if it's just gentle exercise, the stretching and stuff like that. You know, it's healthy. It's healthy for the mind, healthy for the body. Now...
The problem is that some of the people really believe the shit they're talking to. They're like, don't worry, I got this. When four like big skinheads jump out of a car with hammers, they're like, guys, don't worry. I've learned the dim mark, okay? I can, one finger, I can take this guy out. No, you can't. You're about to get beat to fuck, okay? Try that shit, you're going to die. And
you need
I know.
To run. That's the technique right now. Run.
I did traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu, and some of the elements of that are useful. Some of them are total fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Total bullshit.
More positive than negative? What do you think? Did it do more positive for you as a professional fighter having that base of traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu, or did you have to reprogram yourself and unlearn it? Because like some of the it's not striking, but like if you learn like Chinese striking, like karate or taekwondo striking, right? Or
yep.
What is that? Korean, I guess. Taekwondo striking. I feel like if you spent 20 years learning that, the habits you would pick up from that and then trying to transition that into like boxing, I think it might actually have a detrimental effect.
Look at Lyoto Machida. Came from a strictly karate background. Of course, supplemented it with some wrestling, jiu-jitsu and things like that. And he had a pretty good career. And for me, all I'd done was kickboxing and Japanese jiu-jitsu and then a bit of boxing and then, you know, a ton of street fights. And then when I decided to get into mixed martial arts and try and make a career of being a professional fighter, the guy that gave me, you know, this opportunity, said he would sponsor me and stuff, he brought me down to Nottingham, and I hadn't done anything martial arty for years other than just hanging out in pubs and getting into the occasional scrap. Yeah. And based on my Japanese jiu-jitsu that I'd done, and this guy that was one of his guys and training, I still took his back and fucking choked him out.
And that was from jiu-jitsu, remembering that.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff you do rear naked chokes and all that type of stuff. But as I say, there's a lot of nonsense in there as well. There's a lot of that using their own weight against them, you know what I mean? Which in principle is fantastic, but it doesn't always work like that.
Yeah, when you see those Aikido videos where Like you'll have like seven different guys go to attack him, and it's like, and he flips him, and then he flips another guy.
We got to show this. Nolan, can I email this to you and you play it? Because this is the funniest one ever, but where is it? Hold on, that's not me.
You were, I'll take a moment actually. Let me do plugs really quick. I'll do plugs really quick while you're looking for that. Guys, you love the show. Go to our YouTube channel right now. Subscribe, okay? Go to our iTunes page right now. If you're on Apple products, go to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star ranking, a positive review. This is how people discover the show. It's when you guys are reviewing us, making comments, telling your friends about the show. Go post this on a subreddit. Go post this on another page. Go post this on Twitter, The Underground, wherever you could spread the word about the Believe in Me podcast. We really, really appreciate it. You guys are the fucking best fans in the world. And also, if you want every episode we've ever done available at your fingertips, on demand, uncensored, ad-free with pre-release, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code BYM, get a 14-day free trial, get access to this show, plus all my other podcasts, all the incredible shows here on the Gas Digital Network.
Yeah, so as I was saying, listen, traditional martial arts, for all the reasons I just said, are fantastic, and they still have a place in this world, and it's good to learn, it's good for knowledge, good for philosophy, and just calmness and peace, and flexibility and team and building and confidence and all this type of stuff. It's great. But as I say, in a real life combat situation, some of it don't even bother. Just fucking run. And I've seen this type of stuff in person, but I just sent a clip. Have you got it there, Nolan?
I'm pulling it up.
Okay, yeah. Because this is the type of stuff that you're seeing in this clip here. I put it on my Instagram and a little while ago. Got a funny reaction, but Nolan? Anything?
No, not yet.
Oh, it's not working. All right, fuck it.
It's all good.
Move on.
What is the clip anyway? Set it up.
It's just some like martial arts master surrounded with a bunch of guys.
Is it on your Instagram?
It's on my Instagram, yeah. And he just like touches people and the guy like flies back like 30 feet and then there's like 20 people. He goes shoom, like that and they all fly through the air.
Yeah.
I remember this jiu-jitsu master came where we were training and like he'd do these set pieces where he'd stand there in the mat. And then, like, 10 guys would grab him in a different part of the body. One by the wrist, one by the lapel. But it's all set pieces. And he goes, shung. And everyone just fly through the air.
Oh, here he is.
You know what I mean? Let's get some sound on this. Because this guy's such a charlatan. And it's guys like this that give traditional martial arts a bad name as well. Because you look at this, you think, shut the fuck up. And, you know, I have a bigger problem with his little gopher, the little guy that's reacting to his stuff, that man should be an actor. Because watch how well he responds to this stuff. Cue tape, Nolan, if you can. And can we get some sound as well, please,
You'll
buddy?
Be able to hear it out of
All right, sweet. All right, let's go.
Oh, here we go.
It gets better. It gets way better. He just falls on the floor. Hold on, here's another one. Oh, the energy.
Wow.
He touched him and he just knocked him back. Watch. Oh. He's like, wow, I touched you. I just rebounded off you. And again, the guy just falls on the floor. Look at this.
This is exclusive footage from UFC Shenzhen.
Ah! Yeah, this is how Wei Li Zheng was training. Look. Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, there you go.
We were talking about this. It's kind of reminded me. It was kind of a funny video I think we should watch. Did you see the video of the Whataburger?
The Whataburger?
In Texas?
No, what is that?
Okay, dude.
Stop talking about food. I'm starving.
Dude, you got to pull this up. You have to. Pull up Mouse Whataburger in Texas. It's on YouTube for sure. And you got to go to like 1:10 in the video, a minute 10 in the video.
All right. What is it about? Just
I'll give you some setup.
Yeah, set it up.
So there's people, they start filming. There's a big mouse, small rat, big mouse, I don't know.
All right.
On the counter, running across the counter in the Whataburger, and people start filming it. And
hold on. Whataburger, is that like a chain of restaurants?
Yeah, it's a chain.
I've never
like,
heard of it. Okay.
Yeah, it's down south. I know. It's pretty big down south. Let me see. Pull it up real quick.
Yeah, so go on. Carry on.
Let's see. Yep. Pull it up. Pull it up. Go to 1:10 in the video. That's exactly the one. Don't let it read. Don't read it because you got to see the fucking video. It's crazy. Dude, it's crazy. Oh, my God.
I'm just going to tell you right now. My video was pretty funny. You didn't really react. Even if yours is fucking hilarious, I'm going to hold it in. I'm not going to react. I'm going to go, oh, yeah. That's great.
I made a great joke about it being exclusive footage from UFC Shenzhen.
That was good. That was the only bit that you interjected in a positive manner.
All right, go back to
his
video. Edit it out. Go back to his video.
Bigger reaction.
Sorry, bigger reaction. Go.
No.
Wow.
No.
Who's
Whataburger. Let's check it out.
Let's go.
Go to
1:10, yeah. Because it takes a little while to get to it, even at that point.
I went for that, but yeah, I think that was too far. I checked it.
No, I don't think so. Go ahead.
Just play something.
Just play it, yeah.
You hear it through the speaker. All right, so right now we're seeing whoever shot
this girl for trying to catch this old.
The camera needs to be sideways.
This girl for trying to catch this rap. Shit overworking.
Look, she tries to catch it. She tries to catch it.
Okay. Trying to catch the mouse.
Yeah, and then we'll watch. It jumps on the road.
Oh, winning the green.
It's frying itself.
It's frying itself. And look at the guy. He's got his hand in there. Oh, no. Mouse by itself.
Everyone right now is going, all right, well, I guess we're quitting our jobs today, right? There's no coming back from this.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
The mouse fried itself.
Jesus Christ. I thought he was going to like accidentally put it on a burger or something.
No, that was it. But people started freaking out.
Hold on. We went through all of that just to see a mouse accidentally jump in a fryer.
This made fucking Fox 5 news. All right?
Bro,
this was a big deal.
Bro. The shit that gets on the news out here.
That's true.
Yeah, come on. Slow news day.
They are bored. That's it.
I feel sorry for that mouse. Poor mouse.
But you understand.
No, that's a really poor mouse.
How often does that happen? How quickly do you think that mouse dies, though?
Quick.
Has to be pretty quick, right?
Instant.
I remember when I worked at... Remember that
case? I reckon it would be instant. I reckon if we fell into a gigantic tub of boiling hot, sizzling oil...
Oh, it would take a while.
I don't know. I reckon with the intense heat, we'd go instantly.
No, I think it'd be a good 30 seconds of
we'd
fucking...
We'd go into shock.
Oh. Yeah, no, shock. You'd get shocked.
Yeah.
Well, you know when they say you catch fire, like your fat, your actual fat in your body will catch fire. It actually burns like oil, right?
No, I know, because when you're barbecuing and you get some fatty meat on there, then the fat starts dripping, the flames get out of control.
Yeah, dude, so that's what happens. Your fat will start to catch. Dude,
could you imagine?
I read a blog about a person, they described what it feels like to burn to death. And they said it's like the best case scenario.
How did he describe it if he burnt to death?
There was just some, I guess, hypothetical article based off of interviews and people that have burnt.
Data.
But what, I mean, dude, it sounds like it's the worst thing. I would way rather drown than burn.
I tell you what always gets me. There's two things in my life that I always think, oh, God, this would be bad. Hold on. Put that down. Excuse me. I haven't been in one for years. But I've been on a tanning bed, a sunbed we call them in England, and a tanning bed. You lie in there for like 9 minutes or whatever. I haven't done it for years. I used to do it sometimes, right before I had a fight, just give myself a little bit of a tan.
And just like getting locked in one of them and slowly frying to death in one of them. So every time I get in that, I always think about that. And then sometimes in a sauna, a lot of the saunas, the doors open outwards, not inwards. So if somebody blocked that door and you couldn't get out of the sauna, that'd be a long, slowful, painful way to die.
Slowful's not a word.
Did I say slowful?
I said slowful. That's what I pointed out there.
Did I say slowful?
Awful.
Awful. Slow, awful, slawful.
Painful.
There you go.
Slow and awful, slawful. I got it. Slawful.
Slow, painful.
It's painful.
Slow, sloping.
So, yeah, but I mean, still, being on fire, that has to be the worst. It has to be.
But it was,
if you could kill yourself, if you had to kill yourself.
Simple.
What's
drug overdose.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's probably just going to happen. That's how I'm going.
I'll do it with a smile on my face, yeah. Close those eyes. Oh, I'm going to feel good. Fall asleep and never wake up. Or blow my brains out.
Wait, does heroin, if you kill yourself with heroin,
do you have a good time, Briar?
I'm wondering.
I reckon you're just high. Well, I mean, depends if you let's start, having
Why
a bad
do birds.
But if you just might fall asleep.
Like, do you feel
very
like
gently.
Does it feel like, you know, like being caressed with feathers and you hear beautiful music, but then in reality you're just puking all over yourself and bleeding and fucking your eyeballs are
I think you just fall asleep
out.
And you don't know anything about it, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do it, unfortunately. So sad.
Yeah,
they're having
a
good time and they just do too much.
Shouldn't make light of it.
No, we shouldn't.
Hold on. That's how my mother died.
Oh God, we know.
I want to point it out.
Oh God, again.
No.
Before people say we're making light of people dying of drug overdoses.
Yeah. My mom killed herself with heroin, so I can make jokes about
it. My best friend died from a heroin overdose.
Boom. Joke time. Knock,
there we
knock.
Go.
Who's
Fuck
there?
You all.
Heroin dealer. Time to get fucked up, bitch.
What a set of idiots.
Good for you guys.
Losers. We got carte blanche.
Shit.
No. So, Chinese, a lot of new people signing up at the gyms on Monday.
Good. Well, good for the UFC. I wanted to talk about, this was kind of an interesting topic. I'm going to have to watch the whole video, but I sent you this really great little clip that Chael Sonnen, he talked about on one of his shows, and he was talking about...
Can we bring this up, Nolan?
Simply
because it makes me sound really good.
No, but it's true. I mean, I thought it was great. First of all, Chael's the man. I really am a big fan of Chael Sonnen. Always have been, always will be. The way he articulates things, I think he does it at a very, very high level.
He's very good. He's very
Anytime he's speaking, I'm like, oh, I could just listen to this guy talk for hours. He's very, very good.
What am I looking for?
I sent you the streamable link.
Oh, that one.
The one that I had actually sent you. So he's talking, I guess, here, for the context, he's talking about how guys should retire. And then sort of how you're retiring with grace and stepping away from the sport with grace. And he uses you as the example.
And I think maybe the catalyst for this, and I don't know this, but we see it in the notes and there's a lot of talk about it. Alexander Gustafsson is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Rumble Johnson is coming back. And we see this in combat sports particularly. A lot of fighters, they retire and they don't stay retired.
Right.
So I think maybe that was the catalyst for him saying this. But go ahead, Nolan.
If I can only offer you examples. You know, you want to know the right path to go down? I'll give you a great example would be Michael Bisping.
Yeah.
Michael Bisping as a competitor was as ruthless, as mean, as driven as they come. And when he decided he wasn't going to go compete anymore, he got up the next day at the same time, put his shoes on, and got his workout in. Gets done with that. He likes to do the dumbbells. He likes to hit them. He kept doing the same.
I throw
stuff.
Massive amounts of weight
he
around.
Stayed
I don't
involved
like to do
that
the dumbbells.
He essentially weaned himself off of it. If this fame and this competitive spirit, if it really is a drug and it really is a high and it really is a rush, well, maybe we need to treat it the same way as any other substance, if you will. Tough comparison, but I think one that you guys would understand. I think it's one that is relatable. And maybe we got to wean off it. I watched Bisping wean himself off the competitive side of the sport and right into his next chapter. I watched him, and I thought, Mike, I wish you'd come out and talk to people. I wish you'd tell people how you go meet Michael Bisping. He's as happy as he's ever been. Doing a lot of the same stuff as he used to do, just not quite with the same intensity.
Yeah. All right. We
it's
get it.
It's a great example.
First off, Chael, thank you very much. And you're right, Lewis. He does always have the nicest things to say. And yeah, everyone's a fan of Chael. He's awesome. He's right. But I was talking about this to my wife last night when you sent it to me. Because, you know, I mean, he always has nice things to say. I'm like, holy shit. I said, look at this, Rebecca. I said, isn't that nice what Chael said here? And then we talked about it for a minute. I was lucky because I knew I was on borrowed time because of my eye. You know, I was scraping my way past the eye test. I was telling lies on fucking commission forums and stuff. I was doing everything I could because I still wanted to fight. But I knew at some point my luck was going to run out. You know what I mean? And I was going to get rumbled. So I was trying to set myself up outside of the octagon because that was always my biggest fear. You know, being a washed up ex-fighter, the world is full of them. You see them, they make some money, they spend some money. They never make enough to really set themselves up. And then they end up working in some factory at some point or being a trainer in a gym and they're flat fucking broke. And, you know, I used to be a contender. You know, you hear it all the time. So that always scared me. So I knew I had to do everything I could because of my eye. So I started doing podcasts, radio shows, TVs, acting, doing the announcing, trying to get into commentating, UFC Tonight, just diversifying myself in any way I could, you know. But it was out of necessity because I had to. Now it turns out I'm a good bullshitter and I was able to keep it up for long enough that I was able to walk away when I decided to walk away. But subconsciously, that's what I was doing. You know, I wasn't necessarily weaning myself off, but that's how it would appear to Chael or anyone from the outside because they didn't know the full situation with my eye.
Yeah, but do you agree with the sentiment that it's addictive and the competitiveness and that,
yes,
sort of it? Like, so, you know, to a certain degree, you maybe, so ultimately, if I'm sort of understanding, you're saying that you had mentally been preparing yourself, which is, he's right. He's not wrong. It's essentially weaning yourself, yeah, mentally.
Well, it is, yeah, mentally, and also making sure that I had the financial situation in place because, you know, my family got used to a certain lifestyle and I don't want to spend my savings on my lifestyle. Otherwise, you're going to run out at some point. That's, you know, it. What I mean? So you got to continue. So I was trying to, you know, just open as many doors to make money. But you're absolutely right. There is the other side to it. There is the need for competition. There is the need for attention. I mean, that is there. That is a big part of it, being in the spotlight,
setting
walking
the
out
goal,
there,
hitting it,
walking out, having your name in lights, 20,000 people screaming your name. You know, people do miss that. They fucking miss it, and they want that center of attention again. Also, they want to be the center of attention. They want to earn the money. They want to do something exciting again. You know, because a lot of fighters, you come out from fighting, it's the most exciting thing in your life, and then you're, what are you doing? What is your job now? You're just like, I don't know, whatever random tiny job. It will never compare to the level of excitement that you used to do. You know, so
right,
that's also why they find themselves going back there, because they want that rush, they want that buzz, they want that high.
Whatever that adrenaline dump is, if they hooked up, you know, sensors to our heads and we looked at the dopamine drip and all that,
yeah,
other shit, I mean, I'm sure it would be, you know, like, you know how they always compare it to like the high from cocaine? They're like, you know, it's,
yeah,
it's like the high from, I'm sure it would be like 100 times the high from any, the best cocaine you can get in the world.
It depends where you're getting it.
What? It's a pay-per-view main event? Some good shit? Where we at? Where, yeah, we at? We're in Vegas?
I'm going down to Mexico City in a few weeks.
How good's the coke?
I reckon it's good down there.
How good's the coke? How big is the card? I don't know. There's a lot of factors we got to consider right now.
No, but Chael's right. And fighters do need to look at that, you know? Unfortunately, as I say, I always say I was lucky because I knew that was coming, right? I knew I was on borrowed time. And not just that, to be honest, I knew I was coming towards the end of my career. I was, you know, pushing 40, getting older. You can't do it forever. So you start using your platform, and I sound like I'm being a bit fucking preachy here, but it's true. When you are a professional fighter or a professional, whatever it is, and you're in the spotlight, in the public's domain, you got to use that time to set yourself up for something else because that's going to run out. It's going to run out eventually, even for fucking Conor McGregor. That time is going to go, so you got to build yourself to something else.
You know, luckily he's made enough money that he literally will never have to work. It doesn't.
Hey,
there's
Mike
no...
Tyson said that. He's fucking working.
That's
he's doing the Tyson Ranch, and he made a lot more money than Conor, right? Floyd Mayweather, they keep saying that he needs money. I doubt it because he's got plenty.
Yeah.
But these people, and I'm not talking about Conor in general, a lot of big-time sports stars. I mean, have you ever seen the... I think it's ESPN 20 for, what is it? Broke 30 for 30. Is that what it is?
30 for 30, yeah.
Yeah, 30 for 30. Have you seen that?
Not the, it's called Broke.
Broke 30 for 30. You gotta watch it. Oh my God.
And it's about this falling from grace.
It's about young sportsmen that have not really much education, they come from very poor backgrounds, you know.
That's a big part of the problem, though.
Where money was tight, and then all of a sudden they're at school and now they're signing contracts for $50 million, right? And they've got all these sharks around them, right, that are preying on them, taking advantage.
And then family members are borrowing money. And they,
people are borrowing money off them. They think this money's coming in forever. They're buying houses all over the place. They've got baby mamas galore. They're investing in all their friends' businesses because they think, ah, it's not a lot of money. I've got millions coming in, right? And then at the end of it, they're all ending up broke, right? And a lot of these people, I forget because I don't follow American sports too closely, but it's a fascinating piece of documentary work. You should check it out. Broke 30 for 30. But a lot of them, they're car salesmen and stuff like that, but they signed contracts for like $200 million, right? And they would go to clubs and women would search them out. They were looking for ballers. They knew exactly what they were doing. They wanted baseball players. They wanted basketball players. They wanted
NFL
guys.
That's a whole subsect of women who are like just hot chicks who are like, I'm going to fuck a famous person and get pregnant.
I'm
going to
go get pregnant and then I'm sorted for life. And then, of course, you got family members. You got friends. You got all these people, leeches, sharks, scumbags taking advantage of them. And there, it's a new world to them. And they didn't know how to handle it. And they lost it all.
Well, that's why that's a big thing when people win the lottery. There's a very large percentage of people that win the lottery and then they're broke again 3 years later because they're from
Up the Lotto Lout in England. England the Lotto Lout. This guy, I forget his name now, but if you put up the Lotto Lout, England Lotto Lout, it should come up. He won, I don't know what it was, like £20 million, right, on the lottery. And this was like 92 or something, I think. And Lee something, I think his name was. And he just went off the deep end. He just like had this huge house, and he was like, and in the garden he had like a motorcycle racetrack, and he just throw crazy insane parties, and there was all kinds of scandal going on, and he was in the paper all the time. Go
Mickey
ahead,
Carroll.
Is that Mickey Carroll? That's Carol? It. That's it. Yeah, yeah. And he blew it all. Went to prison. For like tons of illegal shit going on at the house. Do you know what I mean? And people having drug overdoses and hold on, read that out. My eyes are bad.
What a waste. Graffiti covered walls and piles of junk in the garden. This is the trashed mansion. Lotto Lout. Mickey Carroll sold at $600,000 loss.
Look at him there. Looks like Tyson Fury in the bathtub.
Seriously.
Big gold chain. Absolutely. Champagne. But I think he lost it all. He had this huge house. Yeah, look at the state of it. All dilapidated. Looks like Harrington's gardening.
He does look a little bit like Harrington.
Look at the house.
No.
Smashed to pieces. I mean, there you go. Coming from, you know, a very working class background.
I would buy these huge necklaces. One cost me around €2,000. Oh yeah, he's just a jerk.
He's got $100,000 worth of gold on. Yeah. So there you go. That's a prime example of what somebody who's not used to money, who thinks the money's gonna last forever and doesn't know how to use it, and there's bad people around him. Now if you do have money, you know how to use it, you can listen, I have my target where what I need to save in the bank. Right? If I get to that, my financial advisors told me, if I get to that amount of money and don't touch it, I'll die with X amount of dollars. And that's my plan. That's my whole goal in life.
That's it.
So my kids, when I fucking die, I know they're taken care of, right? I know that's what I work for. Now, I probably won't get to that goal, but I'm 75% of the way there.
Fuck
You know what I mean?
That's incredible.
But I also just recently retired. You know, that last 25% is going to be hard to get.
If you were to look at it closely, you are really losing money quickly.
Yeah, it's
sort of a problem.
It's like, it's like this, and now it's going like that back down. You know, it's like, ooh, a steep incline, but a very gradual decline. It is going down. I know it doesn't look like it, Michael, but it's going down, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same thing. Like, I just want to, this is why I tell dick jokes, and I do comedy, and I have a lot of fun doing it. I travel the world doing it. It's great, but there's not much you can leave your kid when it's just telling some jokes. So that's why we've been building Gas Digital and the podcast merch side, and the ad sales side, and all these other little things that.
Well, you got to produce TV shows, content, things like that.
You know?
Well, and we talk about it. You know, now that I'm sorry, I cut you off there.
No, not at all. But no, we're talking about the same thing here. There has to be something. There has to be a bigger picture there, because what's going to happen if I fucking lose my voice one day? What happens if I get throat cancer and I can't speak anymore? If I didn't build stuff with equity and build things that I can, you know, tangibly have for my kid, this would all seem like a wasted effort. This would seem like it's almost selfish what I'm doing, because it's a lot of fun. We talked about it before. We, you know, it's like, yeah, I get to go out every night and I get to fucking literally party and drink with my friends and joke around and laugh. That is my lifestyle and my job, and it's absolutely necessary. And if I didn't have anything to give my son for it at the end of it, I feel like it'd be a pretty selfish lifestyle.
Absolutely. Completely agree. And I had a revelation last night, in fact. Of all nights, it happened to me last night. As I said, I'm working my ass off. I'm trying to build to a certain level of money so I can let that, you know, acquire a lot of interest over time. And when I die, boom, there you go, kids. Enjoy. It's on me. But watching Forensic Files, right, a lot of people get murdered for the health insurance. So I started having a conversation about health insurance, okay? And I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Facebook are listening. Because now I've got all these adverts for life insurance coming up on my Facebook feed.
Oh, for sure.
So I looked into one, okay? And it's pretty cheap to get, you know, like $5 million life insurance. It's about $65, $70 per month, right? If you were earning over a certain amount. I'm like, hold on. So you're telling me that I don't need to work my ass off, okay? Mm-hmm. I can just pay the premiums, do nothing, and then die at a certain age.
It's true.
So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to not bust my ass anymore, spend all the money I've got, but take a hefty life insurance policy on myself. And then when the time's right, fake an accidental death.
Once they do the health check on you, is that it? Can you just go be like,
By the way, I don't know. I want to get life insurance, okay? So if you hear this life insurance policy guy, okay, I'm joking on a fucking podcast. I'm not looking to kill myself.
You're going to get a lot of people fucking hitting you up, salesmen now, trying to sell you life insurance policies.
I've got tons on Facebook. They are listening to us.
I know. Dude, I used to sell. Before I started stand-up, I was selling insurance for your worst year of my life. But I sold it. I can't remember what they call it, but there's a period after like 3 years where it doesn't matter whether you commit suicide or any way you go out.
If you die.
You don't even have to fake it.
Oh,
There's a period if you do it after a certain amount of years where it's like you're gone, they get paid. They have this thing to protect them in case you commit suicide.
I quit.
A month later.
I quit. Sign me up, Nolan. Put me in contact with the best people.
I'm back in the biz, man.
Yeah. I'm busting my ass. I can just make a monthly premium of $65.
But how is it, I understand, how is it possible that that's viably...
Not that many people are willing to kill themselves. Not many people want to die.
But I'm talking about like...
You're talking about commercially viable success.
Yeah, for the $5 million life insurance, like, even if it was $100 a month.
And then also, Nolan, you'll know about this
more.
I can
tell you.
For some life insurance policies, what I've seen, you can cash out. You can get your money back before you fucking die.
Yeah, there's three...
Which is crazy.
I hate that
it's a
I know
bank.
This.
Oh, they invest the money.
I hate that I know
that's
this,
what they're
but yeah,
they're
get
investing
all of it.
The money.
It's also term. You're looking at terms. So if you don't die in a certain amount of time, you get nothing.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of, there's like 3 years, and then if you die, even if you kill yourself, you get paid out. But what you looked at that's super cheap, that's like a 10 to 20 year term.
So you have to die within that period.
Yes. And that's why it's so cheap, because they're betting that based on his health, because they'll check his health, that he's not going to kill himself.
I'll do it, doggy. I'll do it.
And that's the risk.
That's how much my family mean to me, right? If you get to a point of financial meltdown, I'll be like, listen, I've got that policy.
Yeah.
This is it.
I can go down to any store. We know this in America. Buy a gun and blow my fucking brains out any time.
Fake your death and have the Bispings collect. Go down to fucking China.
Yeah. You don't even need to fake it. That's what I'm saying.
Let's fake it, death.
Let's do it.
Let's go live in Puerto Rico. For the rest of our lives.
I mean, that is an American property. But, you know, it's not. That's not like a fucking.
Okay. Let's go to Hawaii.
That's also a state.
Oh, fucking hell, Jesus Christ! All right.
South Florida.
No, where's another one? There's another island. Puerto Rico.
Fiji.
There's another one like that. That's American also.
U.S. Virgin Islands.
Virgin Islands. Anyway. How long have we been going?
Oh, an hour and a half.
Do an hour and a half. We can wrap this one. It's a fun show. It's been a great show.
Yeah, it's good. It's nice. Didn't talk too much MMA.
What are you gonna do?
All right, well, what time is it? You got a time for a second one?
Possibly. Let's talk in a second.
We're still on the first one. Nolan, you're the man. Believers, we appreciate you. Thank you very much. We're doing a second show this week. We might do it in just a second, or we might do it in a few days. Either way, keep an eye out for it.
Hell yeah. Thanks, guys, for listening. A couple live dates coming up. If you're in Nashville, I'll be with Kurt Metzger the 20th and 21st. Zany's Nashville. And some more stuff coming up. I love the Believers that come out. Dude, in Hawaii, I ended up randomly doing a spot. Some comic hit me up. All of them were fans of the podcast.
Oh, really?
Every single one of them, dude. They were so cool. So thank you to those guys.
I love their podcast, bro.
Hell yeah, dude. The Hawaii comedy podcast guys and those guys that hooked me up at that cool little spot called Square Barrels in Honolulu. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later on in the week. Peace.